Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of Small Biz Talk Radio. My name is Lori Liker with Small Biz Coaching. And out of Austin, Texas, you can find me at smallbizcoaching.net. I'm so happy to welcome back Barry and Catherine Cohen with us from Together 24/7. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, the last time that you were on, we talked about being in business with your spouse. This time, we had talked a little bit about what it's like if you've got a family business. And I know, Catherine, you grew up in a family business. So what I'd like to just kind of jump in and let's start talking about this. When you work with a family, well, let's back up. Catherine, with you and your family business, this was something that you worked in as a child, correct?
Absolutely, from pretty much the time. Well, before I was a child, my mother went into labor. It was a shoe store, and you know those old-fashioned library ladders? That's what we used to have in the store to go get the higher boxes. And Mom went into labor on the ladder. So I've been working since before birth.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that really is getting a start in the family business right out front. How was it for you growing up? Was it the expectation that you would be part of the business your entire life?
You know, it was and it wasn't. I'm much younger than my siblings, so I saw everything, you know, way ahead because they were grown up and out of the house by the time I was 8 years old. You know, for me, I wanted to go into retail until I experienced more and more retail. And then I decided I didn't want to go into retail, but I'd always wanted to go into retail, even went to college specifically to study fashion and retail. So I said it was a shoe store. The only one who was given anything was my brother. So there's three girls and a boy, and my brother was given his own store. So right away you see the writing on the wall. Okay. You're not a male. You're not going to be given anything in life. The other store that my parents ran until my mother retired, only one of us chose to work in the store. That was my sister and really more my brother-in-law, her husband. And so they ended up taking over the store. If I really wanted it, you know, if I really wanted to go out and make a name for the business, I could have been given, the same things as my brother, you know, given a little help, given a little bit of startup. But it ended up that that's not what I wanted to do. And so I went off on my own in the fashion industry, but in a totally different direction.
So what was your parents' reaction when you decided to not? I take it, though, that it wasn't the kind of expectation that your brother had, obviously.
It was expected that my brother work in the business. It was never expected. It was expected that my other brother-in-law, who did and continues to work in the business. It was expected that he come into the business when my sister and brother-in-law first got married. My father approached him and said, look, you know, this is going to be a way better career path for you than working at New York Life. Turns out working at New York Life would have probably been a better career path for him, but he was given that option. My other brother-in-law already had a good steady job and had a career path set for himself. As for me, it was a little uncertain because I did attend college specifically to go into the fashion industry and into retail. And I did that, but not in the family business. And, you know, as the years went by, those small mom and pops, the small family owned stores weren't doing as well. You know, now you had things like Payless Shoes and Fava and
Walmart,
all these things coming into a neighborhood where it wouldn't have made sense for me to follow that path anyway. So at that point, it was only my mom, and my mom was okay with it. You know, she liked that I was going into the fashion industry. She was very supportive of me, whatever I did. And of course, I had a job on weekends. I had a job whenever I wanted it to work in the store a little bit and, you know, earn a little extra money, which I always did. I always helped out. It was just something that you did.
And Barry, for you with your father's accounting practice, that was something that you just Did you ever help out there, or did you just kind of, that's it, I'm done?
I actually never had any desire to be an accountant or CPA. I'm a hands-on tinkerer kind of person, and not the type that just sits there with a pencil and puts things on ledger sheets. That's just not me. I never made any secret of that, and my father understood that. I went to school for computers. Computer hardware is what I do. It's what I'm great at. So the only interaction I have with the family business, with my father's business, because he still works, bless his heart. He says he's going to retire, but he's not.
Yeah.
the only interaction I have with him is fixing his computers, making sure the computers are always up and running.
You know, in Texas, when you say bless his heart, in Texas, when you say bless his heart or bless your heart, that's like an insult.
Well, it's not. The man's 83 years old. He should have retired 20 years ago. and he's been saying it's probably 15 years. I'm going to retire next year. But it's not that he has to work. He loves what he does. So he just keeps going. And it keeps his mind sharp.
Which is fantastic. And that's exactly what you're supposed to be doing as you get older, is doing things that keep your mind sharp. In terms of how you guys counsel families that come in to be coached by you guys, what are some of the things that you give advice to the parents on how to deal with their children?
Well, first of all, you know, full disclosure, Barry and I have cats and chickens. We don't have kids, but we do work with a lot of, a lot of couples in business that have children. And, you know, the first thing that you'll always hear from us is get them involved in the business in some way, shape, or form from when they are young. Where possible, get them involved in the business. It will teach skills that they will never be able to learn anyplace else. You know, it will give them a better idea. It will give them an edge over anyone else that's out there.
And you want them to find something that interests the kids. You know, if it's something that they like to do, and there's something in the business that is in that realm, let them do it, because now they have an interest. It's something they like to do, and it just expands from there.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as long as it's safe for them, whatever they're doing. So, for example, shoe store and shoe repair. There were machines I could play with and machines I couldn't, you know, just be aware of that.
Yeah. Catherine, by the way, did play with the ones she shouldn't play with.
Yeah, I did play with the ones I shouldn't play with. Everything worked out just fine. I have all 10 fingers and toes. You know, the next thing is not to have that expectation that your child will go into business with you. You can train them and you can want them to do that, but that doesn't mean that they want to go into business with you. Nor should they go into business with you. They should use it as a way of, you know, learning and getting, again, skills they're not going to get anyplace else, but don't force them.
And also make sure that, you know, you're not giving them the expectation, but make sure you have an opening that they know that the business is there for them if they want it. It's a fine line to walk. You don't want to just shun them away and not have them involved, or you don't want to just involve them and say, okay, now you're going to go to college and do your own thing. Just make sure that the opening is there for them, and they know that if they want to join the family business, they can.
And then on the flip side, make sure that they know that you're going to treat them like anybody else. So if they're a total idiot and they don't get this business or business in general, they're not going to get handed this whole thing on a silver platter. You know, you'll sell it, or, you know, whatever that you decide to do with it, you and your spouse decide to do with it, or give it to another sibling. They will get their fair share, but don't make the expectation to them either that they're just going to be handed this on a silver platter, because your legacy could be destroyed. They could be a total failure at it. They could end up in a worse situation. So just like you lay out the ground rules for any employee, you're going to lay out the ground rules for them on an even greater scale.
What's the biggest difficulty or the biggest mistake that parents make when bringing their children into the business at an early age?
Probably not training them, thinking that because they're around the family talking about the business all the time, they've learned by osmosis. That's not the case. they need to be trained on specific tasks in the business and then work their way up from there.
Mm-hmm. Also, probably another big mistake is, another big mistake I think is putting your child, at a young age, obviously when you say young age, like seriously, I started, working in the store probably 3-4 years old, just when people would come through the door, hi, how may I help you? There's my mom. She'll get you what you need, but, beyond that, putting them in a position of authority or decision-making or something that they're totally not qualified to do, and bringing them in and instantly putting them ahead of any other employees that are there. Oh, well, this is my child. So, they're now your boss. That's just so detrimental to your business.
Well, especially if the child hasn't been trained, you add all those things together and then all of a sudden you've got disaster.
Exactly.
What about setting expectations for the kids that they're going to be working in the business and they don't have a choice, they'll be taking it over? I've talked to a lot of people whose parents, they may be third generation entrepreneurs, and their parents throughout the kids' childhood complained that they got the family business because nobody else would take it, and it was just expected, and that same expectation set for them, and they don't want it. How do parents avoid that kind of expectation in their own heads that, yes, I'm passing this to my child because they have to take it over?
They have to communicate to the children. Like I said before, if you are going in with the expectation that your kids are taking it over without having a conversation with them about it, you're going to be in for a big letdown. A great example, just in our neighborhood here, there used to be an area, it was 30 acres of flower gardens. They've been here since World War II. It's just been here. It was a landmark in the Phoenix area. And all of a sudden the property's for sale and they're selling it to developers to put up houses. And when asked why, the owner told us none of the kids want to take over the business. So, cash out at that point. If none of the kids want to take over the business, cash out when you're ready to retire.
It's a legacy, but all business needs to change. I mean, today in this, computer, internet, whatever world that we live in, your own business needs to change on a pretty regular basis. It needs to catch up and keep up and everything. When you've got that legacy business, maybe you just sell the name. Maybe there's somebody else in the family that really, really loves the business and has an attachment to it. Maybe it's a close family friend. Whatever it is, you cannot expect your child to, to keep up the legacy. You can't expect your child to just go into the family business, unless you're the, Crown Prince of England.
The Ford family.
The Ford family, and I'm not sure that all of them are in the business, but, unless it's, a hereditary position like royalty, you can't expect the kid to automatically go into the family business. It just can't be. So you need to know from an early time, these are my options. The child can take over. And if you have multiple children and one child is taken over, the other children need to be compensated for that. They need to get something out of it. Case in point, myself, my brother got a store. He then bought himself another building. Okay, you went off on your own. You did that part. Mommy and daddy gave you a lot, but you did that part and you built your business on your own. But there was real estate involved in my parents' business. So now it had to be divided among the four of us. And my sister and brother-in-law still operate a business out of there. So my mother put everything into a trust that had to be done. Business could not be operated by any one of the four of us in there and have the building sold, without the agreement of all four, but we couldn't force anybody to sell if they were still operating out of it. The building, the property, everything is split evenly four ways. Anything that had to do with the original business that my parents set up, trade names, the name, the goodwill, whatever, any earnings from that have to be split four ways. So you really have to put down on paper and know your child's wishes and put down on paper exactly what has to happen.
Mm-hmm. And that's really something too, that people who are going into business with family, even if it's not children, but family itself, they forget that putting things in writing is so critical.
It's the most important thing. If it's not in writing, if every little bit is not spelled out, there are huge problems. And everything you worked for, everything you, your blood, sweat, and tears, gets to go to two lawyers. And that's it. Nothing will go to your children. Nothing will go to your favorite charity. Nothing will go anywhere else except to two lawyers. Battle it out until there's no more money left to battle over, and then they'll walk away.
What about things like the legacy from grandparents? You know, grandparents might have, maybe the parents are in business because the grandparents set it down to them. How do you deal with multi-generational businesses when you're working with them? Is it something that you would need to have all the parties there when you're
Absolutely.
Working with them as a coach?
Well, what it comes down to is, you know, when people come to work with us on their business, it's about, because their business is stuck and they need to do something to get it moving again. So I don't care if it's a single-generation business, third generation, or 12th generation, something's got to give. And if all of the decision-makers are not present, it doesn't make any sense to have any conversations, because everybody has to be in agreement when it comes to what to do to move forward.
Mm-hmm. We're selling them a concept. You know, we're selling them a concept of moving forward. Yes, they've come to us for coaching, and they've come to us for strategies and planning and everything. But, you know, okay, here's what we think you should do. You know, here's like a really, really good idea based on your talents and your expectations and you know, what your goals are and everything. But like Barry said, if you're trying to just sell it to one partner and there's two or three or four partners, you've just wasted your time.
Mm-hmm. What do you find as you're moving through your coaching practice now, what do you find is different now than it was, say, 5 years ago?
Well, for us, it's
we gave it away for free 5 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, five years ago, it was part of another business. Exactly. Part of another business that we had. And the coaching aspect of our business was, hey, this is a value add. You know, you're buying our product and you're starting your own company and you don't know a whole lot about what you're doing. So here's a value add. Let's sit down and strategize with you and create a plan for you and help you to move forward. Now we're doing it for all industries and we're charging money for it. Yay.
Yeah. I mean, that's a huge thing to think about, but what about the people that you're coaching? Have you seen a difference in the types of businesses that you're getting, the types of people that you're seeing, or the problems? Are the problems pretty much the same as they've always been, or are you finding different challenges as we move through the 2010s?
Well, I think one of the biggest problems that we've been seeing lately is technology. It's changing so fast. Social media is such a huge thing. Just this show itself, Blog Talk Radio, I mean, you're using it as part of your business. People might not mm-hmm. even think about that. How do you market it? You know, there's so many ways to market. There's free marketing. There's paid marketing. There's word of mouth marketing. All these things that technology is just taken over. I mean, nothing's going to get away from your one-to-one networking, meeting people, that type of thing. But there's so much you could do with technology now that you couldn't do, say, 5 years ago, because it changes so fast and they've made it so easy now. It's just crazy.
And as far as our clients go, I think in one way that they're very, very similar, and that is that they're fairly new businesses or brand new businesses, or, you know, businesses that have been doing this a while. And by a while, I mean like, you know, 4 to 8 years, and they're just, you know, not getting, they reached their peak and they're not going any higher. And, you know, that's always been our niche. I've been doing this over and over and over again. You know, I make a living, but I don't make a wonderful living. You know, I can't take two vacations a year. I can only take one. Or I'm just starting mm-hmm. this out and I don't even know where to begin. So that's always been our niche. That's always been who we work with. And of course, couples seem to be like a sub niche of that. All kinds of entrepreneurs, but couples seem to be the sub niche because we've been doing it successfully since 2003.
Yay.
Yay.
When you were talking about the issues of technology, do you find that some of the older businesses are having a hard time keeping up?
Some of them are, but I mean, in our circle, a lot of the people our age, which is in our 50s, are very technologically savvy. Not like the millennials. You know, we still walk with our head up instead of down at the phone. But we are technologically savvy. We get it figured out. And we also know the places to go to learn it if we don't know it ourselves.
And that's something that I've noticed, too. It used to be the joke that if you were of a certain age in your I had somebody tell me that as an older person, I'm in my 50s, that I just wouldn't get it. And I don't find many people in our age range that don't get it. We do get it and don't need to be patronized for it. But by the same token, there still are a lot of people out there that are resistant to the technology. I just met with a gentleman today who had no idea that you could actually put things into a client management system and not have to use a spreadsheet for it to keep track of his clients. And he's younger than he's in his 30s. So would you say that the people who are having the most problem are those that don't stay on top of the trends?
Absolutely. And I'll give you a perfect example of that. One client wanted to do a paper directory of all of his members, wanted to distribute it. It's a networking organization. He wanted to do a paper directory, and we advised against it. Because if you notice, what do you do with your phone books now as soon as you see them at your mailbox? Right into the recycle bin. Nobody uses a paper directory anymore. Nobody wants a paper directory. It's just a waste of time and effort, and there is no return on your investment there. It's just a loss. It doesn't set you apart mm-hmm. from anybody. All it does is say, hey, we have a paper directory, which, by the way, is obsolete as soon as it's printed.
Well, and that's the problem, is that things change so fast that the whole reason why you don't want a paper directory is because it's out of date before you even get it.
Exactly. And that's why we advised against it, and fortunately he took our advice, which is excellent.
And he's younger than us, so, you know, and he's and he was previously in the computer field. So it's a matter of I think, personality. More than anything else. I think it's a matter of personality, that stubbornness, that, you know, well, I want to remain anonymous, and so I'm not going to go on Facebook, and I'm not going to go on social media, and I'm not going to do this, and I'm not going to do that, because I don't want to be a slave to Facebook, and I don't want to have everybody know my business all the time. Well, then don't tell everybody your business, you know. Don't be like me and, you know, criticize your nephew for every political idea that he has on Facebook. You know, don't be like that. Just, you know, promote yourself, but don't be annoying. Another great example,
or
I think, very quickly.
Just promote your business.
Just promote your business, right, but not in an annoying way. You know, your friends don't want to hear only mm-hmm. about your business. Another great example is my in-laws, you know, where my father-in-law is going to be 83. My mother-in-law just turned 80. And so they're very close in age, right? My father-in-law could absolutely use a computer and, you know, can do those sorts of things. But he's still, you know, calling up to complain that he hates Windows 10. And it's like, we're not taking it off your computer. You're just going to have to learn to use Windows 10. And my mother-in-law picked it up right away. She goes with the flow. Hey, if this is what you've got to do, then this is what you've got to do. And she's the one who can text and, you know, she's the one who's got a smartphone, and my father-in-law is the one who's got a flip phone. And they, what was it, 10 years ago, I gave him my old, wait for it, Palm Pilot. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, I used to own a Palm Pilot. To this day, the man is using the Palm Pilot with his flip phone. Instead of getting a smartphone, no, he's got his Palm Pilot, and he's using that with his flip phone. It's his personality. That's just the way the man is. So that's part of the technology wall that, as you know, as coaches, as strategists, we come up against that all the time. And the compromise is you've got to do something. You can't just do nothing. You have to have some presence out there, because that's how people are going to look you up. Even, you know, my 80-year-old mother-in-law, that's how she's finding out information before she goes into a store.
And that's the other part of this, is that when you're in business, you've got to be where the people are looking for you. And if you walk away from online, and if you walk away from digital, nobody's going to be looking for you, because you're not where they're looking.
Absolutely. And it's funny, we know somebody that is a digital marketer, but he doesn't even have his own Facebook account. So try to figure that one out.
Yeah, that's just
Catherine just
seem
to me. She gave me a look. Yeah, Catherine just gave me a look. Who are you talking about? And I had to mouth to her who I was talking about. She goes, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and it gets mixed up. And so that's, I think, one of the roles that we as coaches have to play, which is helping people understand that digital and online and all the different things you have to do to run a business, that's all part of it. It's not, well, I'm going to do it the way my grandfather did it. No, your grandfather would have done it this way had he been alive now. You know,
exactly. Your grandfather had the kid on the corner going, extra, extra.
Right. And that's exactly what Facebook and Twitter and all of these other digital marketing things are. That's our grandparents' kid on the corner.
Exactly.
And so when you're dealing with family businesses, they want to go back to their roots, but their roots would have been what we're doing today, not what they actually did back then, because they'll say, well, it worked back then, it'll work now. No, this is a totally different time in everyone's lives. Well,
you
guys
have
are so much fun. I appreciate having you guys on again. You're so much fun. Tell us again how people can get in touch with you.
Okay, so between the last show and this show, we had a branding changeover. So please visit us on our website. It is businesssolutionsforgrowth.com. That's businesssolutionsforgrowth.com. You can find our podcast where we're specifically interviewing couples in business, and you can find that on all your favorite, you know, Google, iTunes, everything like that. And that's Together 24/7. So our podcast, which is more of us being fun with other couples, is Together 24/7. And if you are in business, especially if you're a couple in business and you're looking to strategize, you'll find us at businesssolutionsforgrowth.com.
And pay no attention to the website that's not done.
Yes, yes. We're in the middle of that right now.
Because Barry will have it done in no time.
He will. He absolutely will. That's the good thing.
Thank you so much, you guys. I appreciate you being back on. We've been talking with Barry and Catherine Cohen from Together 24/7. And now Business Solutions for Growth, if you're looking for their website. And we've been talking about families and couples in their own business. Thank you so much for listening today. I'm Lori Liker with Small Biz Coaching. You can find me on the web at smallbizcoaching.net. If you're looking for me on Twitter, it's smallbizcoachtx. And we have another great show next week. We've got an author with us who's talking about how you don't have to be in business by yourself, even if you are a sole entrepreneur. So join us next week, 4 o'clock Central, here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Lori Liker. Have a great week.